President Bush must decide by tomorrow if he will extend a politically sensitive suspension of a provision in the 1996 Helms-Burton Act. That section would allow American citizens to sue foreign companies who do business on properties seized by the Castro government in Cuba. On Friday, President Bush ordered stricter enforcement of the U.S. trade embargo against Cuba. Commentator Joe Davidson says the Cuban embargo isolates the U.S. more than it does Fidel Castro.
The steady stream of American business delegations to Cuba demonstrates the economic promise of a market denied. And U.S. reporters easily find government officials in Havana who blame almost all Cuban woes on the embargo. Though their soapbox can be tiring, there's truth in their criticism. The embargo makes life harder for the Cuban people. What it has not done is weaken Castro's government. But after four decades as the mainstay of Cuban policy, Washington isn't ready to lift the embargo, no matter how counterproductive it is. There are, however, sensible, moderate, politically possible things Congress and the White House should do to begin a Cuban policy based on reason rather than embarrassment. First, President Bush should follow President Clinton's lead and waive enforcement of key Helms-Burton Act measures that would tighten the sanctions. Doing so would be in keeping with the free trade policies that Republicans and Democrats so often trumpet. The White House also should reconsider its plan to finance dissidents in Cuba. One of the best reasons to oppose that funding is the testimony of dissidents who don't want it. They fear outside funding would compromise their legitimate fight against repressive policies. It would brand them as Washington lapdogs and only complicate their work for political and human rights. The administration ought to save money by eliminating funding for TV Marti. The U.S. government television broadcast to Havana. Cuban jamming of the signal has been so effective that almost no one on the island has ever seen the programming during its 11-year history. U.S. law does permit the shipment of food and medicine to Cuba. American financing restraints, however, have so far made that an empty gesture. New regulations might liberalize the food trade, but medical products remain restricted. Changing that policy would be good for the Cuban people and good for American business. It may be too much to expect sudden wisdom to fall upon Washington decision makers who should reverse course and end the embargo. But they can easily change their rhetoric. President Bush can make a Nixon to China move. He can recognize the reality of the Castro government while continuing to criticize its oppressive practices. Havana uses the sanctions to justify the lack of freedom. Taking at least limited steps to weaken the embargo would make sense. The current policy does not.
The comments of Joe Davidson, a columnist for MSNBC.com.